Hi, everyone. Live from our virtual FinLabs, I'm your host, Natalia Zarowski, Head of Marketing, UK and APAC at Synchron, and welcome to FinSights from our FinLabs, your podcast for the latest in innovation and transformation from our FinLab experts. In our new series, InvestTech, we'll be focusing on the latest trends within the world of asset management, as well as innovation across financial services and what lies ahead. Today, I'm joined by Rajul Mittal, Head of Sustainable Finance at Synchron Amsterdam, and Bermet Dordoeva, Senior Consultant at Synchron Amsterdam. Thank you both for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Natalia.
Thanks for having us, Natalia.
No, thank you, guys. It's gonna be a great show. And just before we dive in, can you please give a quick introduction to our listeners about yourself? Bermet, you go first.
Sure. So I am Bermet Dordoeva, consultant based in Amsterdam, and together with Rajul, we're working on sustainable finance propositions. And on a personal note, I'm coming from Kyrgyzstan. It's a little mountainous country in Central Asia. So actually, all the topics related to nature are really close to me, because in this country, you can actually see how the nature was before all the industrial developments came in. So yeah. I can tell you how it looks like.
Thanks, Bermet. I'm Rajul Mittal. I'm with Synchron for almost 11 years now, based out of Amsterdam. I lead the sustainable finance and ESG practice within Synchron. And sustainability as a topic has been close to my heart for more than 16 years since I graduated. But I kind of, you know, left it in latency, did not really pick it up. But for the last 4 or 5 years, it's really, you know, caught my eye. Also on the personal front, you know, I'm very busy with sustainability, having solar roofs on the house. In my professional capacity, you know, for the last 18 months, 24 months in Amsterdam, we are really focusing on, you know, how we can help our clients, be it pension funds, banks, asset managers, with sustainability and ESG. Yeah.
No, that's excellent. I was actually going to say, Rajul, I don't think I have the solar panels quite yet, but perhaps after this call, that might be the first thing that I end up doing. But thank you both so much for those introductions. Just for our listeners, for today's show, we're looking at ESG's increasingly important role within financial services, what investors want, the development of global metrics and standards, and really, is the E in ESG in a league of its own? So let's just sort of dive right in. So a survey by the World Economic Forum found that 86% of executives agreed that reporting on a set of universal ESG disclosures is important and would be useful for financial markets and the economy. When did we really begin to see the evolution of ESG from a conference buzzword? I mean, I remember seeing it at every conference in the past couple of years. So when did we go from seeing it from that conference buzzword to really a serious topic of conversation? And is it the result of the next generation of your high net worth and your ultra high net worth of investors urging companies they invest in to do what they perceive is the right thing? Or ESG is something that was becoming really inevitable? Bermet, let's start with you.
Yeah, I think actually it's the latter, because not only ESG, but everything related to sustainability is booming nowadays. And I think the reason to it is very simple. Because if we look at the world around us, we're in the midst of pandemic and climate change is still happening. We see the global warming coming with unprecedented speed. And therefore, actually everything related to sustainability is, you can say it's booming, and you can say everything related to sustainability is a buzzword nowadays. And actually, ESG is a very important part of it. ESG is a very important part of sustainable finance, and it's one of the tools of sustainable finance. So actually, using ESG, we will be able to know what is actually sustainable. Just to distill from all the businesses and from all the activities around us, we can distill what is truly sustainable. So I think it's just the result of developments around bigger topics.
Thanks, Bermet. I think for this particular topic, I'll take a historical point of view. So what at least I have read and I know, and I was not even born in 1969, is responsible investing has been, you know, with us since, say, the 60s and the 70s. And it kind of started in the US, because US in terms of capital markets was more mature. But we remember the 2000 election, in which Al Gore and George W. Bush were fighting. Mm-hmm. And after he lost in Florida, I think Al Gore took a complete U-turn or, you know, became an environmental champion. And I think a lot of credit goes to him to bring this topic to the fore. And then we saw 2008, the financial crisis, you know, the crashing of the markets. And that is where you saw that a lot of retail customers, the public at large, had dissatisfaction, frustration with financial sector as a whole. And that was also definitely a trigger of this topic slowly and gradually coming to the fore. And what we see in last 4 or 5 years, that there is a definite pull from not only the HNIs or, you know, ultra high net net individuals, but from public at large to be able to, you know, see that the money is deployed through the matrix of ESG, you know. So definitely money should be going towards the companies which are doing good for the planet, or at least not doing bad for the planet. So I think if you take a historical perspective, this was long time coming. And finally, we are at an inflection point where in the next 5 to 7 years, this would be mainstream, if not already. Yeah.
Yeah, excellent. I was just actually going to say then sort of without question, ESG and sort of push from investors have really caused companies to feel at the very least compelled to clean up their act. But I'm going to be just a tiny bit cynical for a moment. And I appreciate this movement has been coming for a while. And I do think it's all overdue. But just if I'm going to take on a sort of, I don't want to say negative, but again, a slightly cynical lens to this, let's take a look at sort of rating shopping. So right now, there are currently over 1,000 ESG indexes in the market. So you have your MSCIs, your Bloomberg, Sustainalytics, et cetera, sort of all in this world. And they all differ in their methodologies and how they examine the same exact firms and their ESG ratings. So just as an example, one firm can be using Sustainalytics, and in their annual shareholders report rate, they rate themselves as medium in their ESG efforts, but that can be low or high with another. Do you think there's a risk of oversaturating the market with these indices, but also the risk of perhaps false representation from companies to pick an index that best aligns to their goals? So Raju, I'm going to pass this one on to you.
Natalia, my take is I agree with you that there are more than, say, 1,000 indexes or companies which provide ESG rating. Yeah. But we kind of need to segregate the larger topic of sustainable finance regulation and ESG. You know, so sustainable finance regulation is something that is, you know, from the regulator, and it has a standard. When it comes to ESG, and we already talked about, say, the historical evolution of ESG or responsible investing, that is more of an evolution rather than something being, pushed by the regulator. So the industry is evolving on its own. And that is what you see in terms of different geographies, different asset classes, be it equities or funds. You have niche players, you have large data players, you know, which are now also foraying into ESG. And you rightly said that the methodology is not a standardized methodology. So, you know, we talk about Sustainalytics, which has a score from 0 to 100, 0 being the best score you can get. On the other end of the spectrum, you have Refinitiv as a big data provider, which also has a score from 0 to 100, but then 100 being the best score. So I would say that at this point in time, the risk is not about saturation, but there is definitely a need for convergence in next 3 to 5 years. The more pertinent question is the adoption. And I think we are still in the early stages of adoption. So once we have passed that curve of, you know, adoption, where at least the main financial institutions or the big banks, the asset managers and pension funds have already jumped to the bandwagon of ESG, we would see that there is a convergence in terms of standardization and kind of data that is being provided and the data quality. So I think it's adoption and then the convergence in terms of having a structured ESG, you know, methodology, data, and data providers. Yeah.
I was going to say then, sort of in terms of adoption, you have your early adopters, you have your believers, and then you sort of have your laggards, right? You have the ones that kind of come on the end, or they're skeptics from the very start. So I was just going to say, in State Street Global Advisors' 2018 ESG survey, 80% of respondents say they have some form of ESG strategy within their portfolios. But with the 20% of those that were actually surveyed who did not yet have exposure to ESG strategies, 71% stated that they're not actively considering them. So with the clearly cited benefits of reporting, you know, ESG ratings, we've been saying this is a long time coming. There's obviously plenty of benefits to ESG, such as helping companies control their full corporate value or the ability to potentially realign capitalism really for the benefit of broader society if we're looking at things at a more macro level. Why would a company then be, for example, averse to adopting an ESG strategy? We know the benefits. We know this is coming from the market. We've been expecting this to happen. But why are some companies still so averse to it?
I think you raise a very good question in terms of how companies see ESG. One important concept that we need to establish, and within the world of sustainable finance, we talk about sustainable finance 1, sustainable finance 2, and then sustainable finance 3. And sustainable finance 1, in that realm, the financial performance of the financial indicator is always leading compared to, say, the social indicator or the environmental indicator or what we call the integrated value of, looking at investments. So still, I think we are at a stage where financial performance is definitely leading compared to, say, the ESG performance or the social or the environmental performance. Until that is the case, the adoption and the level of, embedment of ESG within companies would vary to different degree. But as we move towards a realm where the integrated value, that is not only the financial value, but also say the social value and the environmental value is looked from through the single lens, that is where we will see the transition in a more holistic manner. And I think also this kind of links to the earlier question that we have seen in say the 2013 and 14 with Basel II and Basel III, that the risk methodologies that the bank used in terms of how much capital they need was varying from bank to bank because the regulator did not impose a single methodology, mm-hmm. And same is the case, so the industry is evolving. You have different companies looking at that differently. I even question that when companies claim that, they are looking at ESG, to what level is this embedded within the organization? Are they having a complete view? Are they building their own models? Things like that. So I think currently ESG is a topic and how companies sees it are, all over the place. But I'm pretty hopeful, and that is also the need of the hour in terms of not only environmental change, but, social change and governance as a factor, that we look at it in a more holistic manner, and that change is not long due. It's coming our way in the next 3 to 5 years. Yeah,
well, I'll be looking to you then, Rajul, in the next 3 to 5 years to see if that change has happened. Again, I'm being perhaps slightly bit of a skeptic, but at the same time, hopeful and optimistic for the future then. I'm going to touch back on something that you said sort of when we're talking about the 1960s, and that's sort of where we started to really see sustainable finance and ESG come about. It hasn't been the past few years at conferences. This is something that, we've been aware of for quite some time now. But you're also saying before how it started in the US, and that's sort of where we've seen a lot of the momentum come out of. So I was just going to say, the adoption of ESG is higher in the US than in Europe. But according to the AFT, and something I was reading was that Europe actually has a tendency to favor government-driven frameworks, whilst the US prefers bottom-up, industry-led solutions. So just as an example, and what we saw in the news, I believe it was end of September, the European Commission created their own green taxonomy last June, whilst in contrast, we saw the Big Four come together along with the World Economic Forum and the International Business Council that's currently run by Bank of America's CEO, Brian Moynihan, to create a new set of 21 ESG metrics split into 4 pillars, including governance, planet, people, prosperity. Is there a middle ground then between the two approaches, between sort of the US and the European approach that we're seeing? And where should solutions be coming from? Bermet, I'm going to turn to you.
Yes, actually, I do believe that most of the data on ESG that is being gathered in the US is coming mostly from SEC filings from filings from publicly listed companies, so publicly traded companies. So I cannot call it purely industry up approach, but I do believe that yes, indeed, there we can distinguish two approaches when it's top down, like in the EU, when the legislator is coming with EU taxonomy, and of course, bottom up when it's coming from industry. But I think the challenge in both is that what are we trying to build taxonomy upon? What industry we're looking at? Because it's really, really broad and it's really big. And that's why kind of it's hard to say which approach is better, because the challenge is will be the same everywhere in all regions in the US or Europe, that there's so many industries and ESG metrics, they're truly, truly detailed, and they cover a lot of aspects. And you know, some ESG metrics can be straightforward, like emissions, and these are the most important ones, but some are really hard to track and trace, like chain responsibility or anything related to labor law. So I think the problem with taxonomy is that too many stakeholders are trying to get too much at the same time. So I would say that looking at the approach is good to take little steps. If industry approach works, it's perfect. If top-down approach with EU taxonomy will work, it will be great, and it will be also a precedent to other countries and regions. So I think the most important thing is to act and do something and to see which one will work better, because now it's still hard to say which one is better.
Yeah, I was going to say. Go ahead, Raja.
If I could add to, you know, how I see US unfolding, because me and Bermit both are based out of Amsterdam, and we definitely see the evolution of ESG in European Union more closely compared to US. But we've also been interacting, you know, recently I interacted with the head of sustainability of a US investment bank. And his take on, you know, the topic of ESG adoption in the US was, that why it is currently lacking is because of three reasons. One is, say, the lack of definition and nomenclature when it comes to ESG data providers. We already touched upon that earlier. Second is that the ESG knowledge and conviction as a proven concept is very low for an average US investor. You know, if you look at the whole Midwest, you know, where a lot of money is there, you know, traditional investors are there. For them, environment or ESG doesn't mean anything as of yet, you know. And thirdly, the relationship managers and the advisors who actually have this to sell the products, you know, to these investors have not reached a stage of inflection where they start pursuing ESG-based investments very aggressively. So if you look at these three reasons, so academically, US has been quite mature in terms of ESG. But if you look on the ground adoption of ESG, it is lacking. And the final point in this regard would be the election of Donald Trump in 2016. And I think that's where it kind of, you know, came to a standstill. And as we talk, we are in the midst of having a new president in the US. So let's see which way the tide turns. And does US go back to the trajectory of better ESG adoption, or it kind of lurks in the dark when it comes to ESG for the next 4 years? Yeah.
Yeah, what I was just going to say then, sort of to really just continue what you're talking about there, Rajul and Bermit, is the adoption of these metrics. I mean, really, how soon will we really begin to see the adoption? I mean, perhaps we are seeing it on a smaller scale now, but when will we sort of start to see that kind of go out a bit wider? I mean, most of the accountancy firms themselves only reported information on the third of the 21 metrics that they created a couple of years ago, but now are rushing to provide the right reports as standards and are supposed to be adopted as early as next year. So really, when do you think we're going to start seeing the adoption of them? Again, as I said, it's sort of, we're seeing it to a smaller extent, but when are we going to see that really start to become a bit more widespread?
Well, in terms of adoption of reporting on ESG metrics, I also would like to look at what triggers the reporting, right? What triggers the reporting? So one angle, and the one which is very common taken, is that investment angle. Because, of course, what triggers and what drives the market is investment. And you know, as soon as investors are starting to invest in sustainable companies, and they already started to do so, then more and more companies want to be successful and want to start reporting on ESG, and when they also want to do their best to improve their ESG rating to make sure that they are in this investment area. And that's why I'm really excited about sustainable finance. I think it's cool how powerful it can be to solve these sustainability issues. But with that said, we see that then it's happening, this trigger is mostly related to publicly traded companies, to public to public market. And therefore, you know, to make it even bigger, I would actually look to the another issue related to your question about the wider adoption. Okay, when will this come, this trigger, when this will come to private markets and what to do with emerging markets, because they don't have this push. And I think for those two, I think the regulation or top-down approach will help a lot.
Yeah, that's great. I was actually going to say then, so in terms of then, in terms of how, when we'll really start to see the adoption then of the metrics. And as you're mentioning it, I was just going to say sort of, what do we think is the fastest route to get there? I mean, if we take into consideration the different approaches to ESG standards by both, you know, Europe and the US, I mean, what is the fastest way for us to sort of get there? I mean, will we see all of the boards come together, or is there a sort of a fear of one system, or what do you think is the fastest way we can actually start to see more impactful change, whether that's, you know, from private companies, public companies? When can we start to see that sort of movement come, and really how quickly?
And Natalia, if you know, if I can add to the line of thought, my take is that we should let it evolve, you know, so be it in US, Japan or European Union, let the systems evolve. And if you look at an analogy, for example, for last 5-7 years on the hype curve, augmented reality, that is a very different topic, has been on everybody's mind, that augmented reality will take us by surprise. You have companies like Microsoft, and then you have companies like Magic Leap working on it. But things cannot go faster than, you know, the normal course of time. So I think also for, we definitely see a lot of traction in last 3-4 years, the sense of urgency, not only from the companies or the companies which deploy money, but also the demand from the end customer, the tail customers, the private high net individuals. So my take is that let the systems evolve, you know, we definitely need some top-down, you know, approach in terms of, say, the guidelines. But let's not try to box it as a, you know, complete regulation that you got to do it, because financial performance, or, you know, is the basis of capital markets. Yes. So we cannot force ESG onto the capital markets and then see how it churns. But we have to let the blend happen in a more natural manner. And I am pretty hopeful, I said earlier as well, that in the next 5-7 years, we'll be standing in, you know, a much better place in terms of ESG adoption. That is not only good for us as, you know, the end customers, it's good for banks which deploy money, but it's also good for planet at large and, you know, what we need. Yeah,
absolutely. I was going to say, then I don't think there really is a need to rush into it. As you said, this is something that we're also sort of learning, and it's an ever-evolving process. I was going to just say that in terms of having those standards, I mean, do we really need then global standards? I mean, Bermet, sort of, what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, in terms of global standards versus regional or national, I would say that I'm not sure if we really need global standards, because I do understand that the issue is truly global at the moment. And it's really exciting times we're living in. But if we look at, for example, other topics like anti-money laundering or terrorist financing, and it's also truly global topic, right? And if we look at how it evolved, like Rajul said, yeah, it can evolve naturally. How it evolved, all countries, they still have their own standards for AML and KYC, and US has its own approach, and Europe is doing it differently. But I believe it works that way. So I think the most important now, that all countries and on a regional level as well, there is a good cooperation that will all take steps towards adoption of ESG. And I think if we take little steps and industries will also do something, then it definitely will work. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it really is just about those incremental steps, right? I think it is just taking it sort of one day at a time and not necessarily feeling that you need to rush in and start making all of these changes all at once.
Yeah, and finally, you know, Natalia, we all have been very busy, or, you know, have seen how organic food was, you know, on the shelves, say, last 3-5 years.
Yeah.
And similarly, when it comes to ESG or, you know, green investments, there is a lot of greenwashing that has happened, and we don't want that to happen perpetually. So I think it has to take its natural course of, you know, things.
I was going to say, actually, I think in terms of greenwashing there, Rajul, I think we can start an entirely new podcast episode on that alone, right? But I was just going to say, both, we're just nearing the end of time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I mean, it was amazing to hear your views and how ESG is making investors, investment managers, just think differently about their portfolios, how they run their businesses, but really also what we can expect to see in the coming new years with new global standards, metrics put in place, really just learning to sort of take things one day at a time without rushing into them. Are there any final comments you'd like to leave our listeners with, Rajul?
Please let me know when you put the solar panels. Huh?
I promise I will. I might need your help in installing them. I'll just kind of FaceTime you.
For sure.
Vermette?
Well, only thanks for having us. And I think, Natalia, these were great questions. And I'm happy that there's a podcast where people can hear more about these topics. And I think it's really great initiative. Very happy about it.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be the last time we have you both. Thank you so much for your views again. And thank you so much to our listeners for tuning in. If you're interested to find out more about Synchron and what we do, please visit www.synchron.com. And if you like what you heard, please like and subscribe. Catch you next time.